Okay, well, hello everybody.
Is this going to be streamed or?
Is this being? Okay. Okay, then we can say whatever we want. We are sponsored by Fox IT.
Yay! Just
sent a guy who's responsible for recording was giving the told you should be recorded by or?
I don't care. I don't care.
The recording is on all the time anyway.
Okay, good. Then we can. Hey. So, in a way, we were sponsored by Fox IT, but given in our circle, there's two Fox ITs, even three. There's the PDF reader. There's a light and audio visual company, call it, but with Fox with PH. And there's the IT company. The last one gave problems. And the other one just called with another offer, so with a sponsor offer. So, there's something nice that I can show for the first time in this event history, which is we always had a secrecy around how many tickets were sold. So I don't know where that came from. Nobody knows where it came from. And at Hart was always a secret. At OMA, it was always a secret. And we think like, why do we do this? So this is the current ticket graph, ticket sale graph. And let me explain a little bit. Yeah. The scale is matching the other lines. So what you see is the pink line, the lower one, this one, that's the HAR. The blue line is the ordered from Ohm. The mixed up green line apparently here, that's the amount of tickets paid for Ohm. And all the colored layers over here are the different ticket types that are in the shop for Xia. And you can see a bronze ticket and a silver, gold, young hacker tickets, press ticket. There's one press ticket. The discount tickets, you can see them here. There, thing that's new. And you still see the orange line creeping up and the discount ticket line. So that is pretty nice to see.
Paid?
These are paid. Ordered is way higher. This was paid. And you see that Ohm is like creeping up a little bit. And we're still very well underway. But of course, we need some extra ticket sales to be sure that this will happen. Oh.
The y-axis starts at zero, increment by 50 tickets, or increment by 500 or something.
No.
250, 500. If you zoom out again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's being cut off, but the scale is the same. So the number is 2,000 and is on the other 00 is also 2,000. And we opened the ticket shop on the CCC Congress, and that's been like 250 tickets in a day. So poof. So that was, if that didn't happen, we couldn't pay all the suppliers. So that's very good to see. But we hope to have some of the boosts when releasing the final program. That's a must have. But currently we are at 2012 tickets, at least this morning. And if it's a steady thing, then we will reach about 3,000 people. But if there's a boost in some way or any way, then it will be 3,500 people and we have a great event. And everything above that makes that more awesome. It's as simple as that. We've made budget for all the scales. So this is the first time we do announce how many tickets were sold. So yay. We have no idea how many types of tickets were paid at Ohm. Simply, we don't know. Maybe we can find a backup of the ticket shop somewhere, but we're in the process of erasing everything from Ohm. For HAR, we really don't know. And what you also miss on this graph is on the right side, there is a month missing. For HAR, there were 2,300 or 2,500. Ohm were 3,300. And the graph only goes to 720, 27.50. So, yeah, that's this is the best we can do now.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
People buy tickets,
so
they really help with
organizing the costs. Sorry? Do you want to be in?
It's just being recorded.
No, what I said is that we have an awesome terrain which can feed up to 5,500 people. So we are comfortable with the ticket amount, but wherever you go and maybe talk to someone, if people buy tickets now or just early, it really helps with the organizing costs, with the heaven for volunteers and so on, so we can plan ahead.
Yes. So
yeah, that's a very good question. There's either or mix of two things, that is drama around Fox IT and the release of the program, or both. Apparently, I think it's a mix of both, so we should have more drama, I guess. So, EvilCorp, what should we do? What drama do we want? we can choose one. Anyone.
It might Trump.
All right. I will not repeat that. this is what we've all been hiding for years now, and now everybody's coming out of the closet. Yay! So, that's the ticket sales. What do we have more? We are currently working. There's like a team of six people working like crazy on the permits. And permits in the Netherlands are, a lot of work, like crazy. It's really insane how much time we spend writing and looking for what the rules are. And a while ago in February, we sent in this permit request. Signed and such and received, and that's all fine. But it needs to be fleshed out. So what are real hazards that we have on our events? So they're used to like big dance festivals with 25,000 people walking to a single stage at the end of the event. This is a bit different. So we have risks with lasers, for example, or people burning their hands on a soldering iron. It's completely different. So the municipality is also a bit like, what's this? What can we expect? And we have had two or three brainstorm sessions of all the things that can go wrong with with this event. what do we have more? Oh, there will be traffic. The traffic will be rerouted. It will be a one-way road around the site. We had to come up with a traffic plan. The traffic plan was actually pretty nice, except for the first sign of the plan, which was reversed. The sign was reversed, so the whole plan was discarded. So we did it again, this time with the correct sign. There's a lot of objects on the site. If you look at the map, all these objects need to be named and explained. So the resolution is extreme. So each and everything here has to be, oh, this doesn't work like that. I should do, yeah, exactly. So we have to, of course, tell what kind of tent. And what kind of tent starts with asking the vendor, what tents do you have? And then you get this, where is it? Oh, this explanation of a tent, which is mostly what we see as code for computer code. This is basically all kinds of calculations about these stents. So these stents are ridiculously well engineered to the max, and we have to supply all that. And it also includes a drawing. Yay. So one of the nice features of this map now is that you can click on an object and that it shows this this tag, this map object thing on the right. This is something you can use on the SHA wiki. So for example, I made a page for the CTF tent to try it out. You can click on it and it loads a part of that wiki page. And that's nice because we can then add all kinds of information for visitors. It's a nice feature. The page is itself empty, but yeah, well, that's because it was just a test. So that's just this is a nice new feature of the map. But all the items here have to be described and such. And also the flamethrowers Dimitri is working on, and the lasers, and the, all the other stuff that is just has potential risk. What do we have more? That's really boring. Also, the amount of showers and washing tables and how we promote the event. And of course, a lot of drawings. And these drawings are very detailed, and it is where is it? Where are they? Out of time.
We're faster.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but there are a lot of drawings of the site of all the escape routes. We have three escape routes, and what's the route when that's used? What is the route that is used in emergency situation? There's also a map for that, and there's a map for this and this and that. This is one of the drawings that Red Lizard made, and Red Lizard was really happy with drawing over 1,000 chairs. There's 1,500 chairs here, and yeah. Well, that was a lot of work, and this is the layout for track 1 and 2. What we will have on the stages, we decided last week, will be instead of beamer projectors, we will have LED screens or LED walls for 5 or 6 meters wide and 3 meter high. So that's pretty nice. This is the smaller track, track 3. It's still 750 people, and for every tent there is. Every place there is a drawing of how it's going to look. And of course, this goes on and on and on and on. This is really ridiculous. And well, at least we know what we're doing. I'm missing another list. There's another list, but also a few Sandmaster, where is it? Well, it would be updated then or something. I don't know what this one is used for. We have another one, but I cannot find it on the list. Oh, here it is. This is the other FM broadcast tower. We also have to describe that. This is a broadcast tower that can withstand normal wind speeds up to 136 kilometers an hour, which is hurricane speeds. So that's all fine. And yeah, there's a lot of this stuff. There's of course in the Netherlands we have to have house rules, and there's an update on the house rules also with how when are vehicles allowed on the terrain. Oh, this works pretty great. Yes, I will make sure that happens. So house rules, and it's made in the cringy Word. I even had to download and pirate a copy. I had to buy a copy of Word to do this. And it says things about don't panic and be excellent to each other, about the environment, vehicles, they will also be available in English. The noise, waste, lost and found, photography, drugs, alcohol, smoking, fire, blah, 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 pets, you name it. And this is basically the short version of the extremely terrible terms of conditions that are have been written by a group of raging lawyers that want to, make sure that Shah is never liable, and that doesn't work that way. So we have this better set now. Of course, there's a plan for security and first aid. So, but what does security do? How do they work? What is the communication with that team? They're working on it right now. In short, it says how they communicate, what stuff is not allowed. For example, if they find somebody is an idiot and brings a weapon to the site, will never happen, but still, it's sort of standard. There's also a first aid plan. The Red Cross will help us, hopefully also some people from CERT. It would be really nice. And it's a really long list of how that works. The logs that they keep to keep track on, for example, food poisoning in between shifts and such, so you need logs and that stuff. It is incredibly long, I will not bore you. If you want access to all these files, you're welcome to just say so. Everybody's writing like crazy on these things this weekend because we have a deadline on next Monday, so I'm not getting too much sleep, but I'm here, so I wouldn't get sleep anyway. There's an escape plan for how to leave the field. That of course happened. There was a CC camp. There was a storm which was not anticipated, and that is a source where we learn from. But I've not seen the plan itself. I know that there is something, and there is on the Draaiboek, or the what's it called, the script. Yeah, the script has a time slot somewhere where we are going to practice the emergency routes, and there will also be meetings where all this stuff is explained to the point where the orga or a few key volunteers need that information. That's basically the permit, I think, so it's not too bad. There's a phone list, but we will not hand that over. We will use that for ourselves. They want to do it, we just give the outline, like we have these numbers and these are the suppliers, we don't care about the suppliers too much. So in terms of, they also have the numbers on their website. What's more? Yeah, of course, how the bar works when they have alcohol. And there's one thing we still need a workaround for. We are allowed to sell beer, no problem. But we are not allowed to sell to mix your own alcoholic beverages at the bar. So that means I just visited a lightning talk where somebody made a chunk mixer from a concrete mill, and we're not allowed to do that. So what we're looking for is a bottling plant or a keg factory that can fill up rum and mate before the event, and we can put that on draft or tap. So if you know such an organization that can do this, it's highly, we would really want to get our know who that is.
We have a lot of connections to people who are into doing their own beverages, so we should talk and maybe exchange some connections.
Yes, thanks.
I think the workaround of the camp was to hire professionals. Who did this?
It's not allowed in any way. We've discussed this, all the options, and as long as when it comes to mixing alcohol. They want to have a guarantee that the alcohol we sell is zwak alcoholisch, so below 15%. But they are even stronger, and they are even more strict, and they say max 5%. So you, yeah. That's what they want, so we have to work with that in some way. So having kegs with chunk pre-made is, or a part of chunk pre-made is a workaround here.
Mixing is not allowed in the Netherlands.
Sorry?
Mixing is not allowed in the Netherlands.
I think mixing is allowed in the Netherlands. The question
it was a joke.
Okay.
In the relation, hacking is not allowed in the Netherlands.
Okay, yeah. There's so much stuff forbidden. These are normal incident scenarios. This is the evacuation plan. I didn't read that, but let's see what it says. Well, this is really easy stuff. How does this work? The program, it's being announced. Well, that's something I will have to read through still. 112, okay, emergency services, yay. Well, don't want to think about that. I have other things now. Yeah, question.
Are there any restrictions or guidelines on what villages and clusters are allowed to build or build themselves? For example, we right now are thinking of building a little tower in the stuff. Of what would it be allowed? What would be the
deterrent?
Yeah. To do to get it through.
So the question is, can we build towers or our own structures? The answer is two parts. It is the terrain of the scouting organization. So they're used to that only those types of things happen, towers being built and such. So that's part one. But the second part is, when will it become dangerous, or when is there a risk? There will be an inspection on site 5 days before the event and 1 day before the event. We walk around with some professionals, and if something is not deemed safe, then we'll offer an alternative. Basically, that will be the process. And if you have questions, just ask them to me or anyone of the permit team right now. And if you think the tower should be 30 meters high, then you might think there are some rules attached to this. So, yes. Is there anything else? Oh yeah. AK, can you? Would you like to do the honor of presenting the squares and lines? I just got this. Is there any? Oh, they're not that insane. So this easy thing, utility building E0 and L0, this is a Datenklo-plan. Oh, wow. How many Datenklos does Sja have?
45.
Okay, damn it.
But if you go in the map, it's also maybe mapping.
Yeah.
We were just discussing that like a couple hours ago.
Ah.
That's why.
Closet.
Lounge. That's already on the.
Oh, okay, good. It's paper.
Yeah.
Go to the map?
Yeah, the map. The map will have some layers which will be interesting. And there's like
the. We don't like the trees, we don't like the tents. Field names, no campers, no base, knock. Well, it's not really that impressive. Oh, this is it.
That's it, yeah.
This is the plan.
Yeah. So also, then power, I think.
Power. Water.
Yeah, that's the same for the dock background.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is basically all the utility boxes on site.
Yeah.
And why is the on-site power not used? It doesn't have enough capacity for our needs.
Yeah, I think the whole terrain is limited to 32 amps or something.
Actually not true. 64? No, 400 or 800 amps.
The whole terrain.
Yeah.
Okay, still not enough. Yeah, so yeah, Jen.
We'll run like the. So we have, there's two buildings on site. So if you can zoom in on the, there's E0 and L0, which are like the utility. So it's on the left, there's E0. That's the. Did you disable the layer with the buildings now?
Oh, I will.
What's that?
And there are buildings.
Oh, yeah. So there's a utility building there, which has and that will be powered. It will put servers and POC and video and whatever stuff there. And then there's also L0
on Barger Field.
That's another one. It's a concrete building which is already there. And from that building, there's fiber and power going out to these closets, which each closet will have power, fiber, and copper. And sometimes water as well.
And with the powers combined?
We'll use the on-site power in those buildings, but all of the other stuff will probably be running on the generators.
Yeah. Additionally, a few of the light installations will also run on the backup or the standard power. Just because if the generators go offline, then we still have light. Or if the standard powers go offline, we still have the generator. If both fail, then we have another problem. More interesting problem. We have two generators dedicated with emergency lighting. We can just drive on the terrain for the emergency roads. So that's pretty nice. And if that fails...
Flashlights,
smartphones with lamps on them.
We're also planning for a Dappen Glow. So this will be the first Dappen Glow on a pier. That's a pier. It's going to have a Dappen Glow. We actually got a request from somebody who wants fiber to the boat.
Fiber to the boat. Oh, wow.
What's the status of the uplink, actually?
That does the uplink also? Okay.
So uplink-wise, this field already has a fiber. And if you go to the left there, if you zoom in there, there's another utility building there. It's called N0, N1. Okay. And that already has a fiber going to the Eurofiber network. And we're currently, it should almost be finalized, but we have like dark fiber going to Amsterdam, which we can light ourselves, and we're kind of fooling around to see how much capacity we can put on there, but we're aiming for 100 gig connection, which is going to be total overkill, but we at least can say we had a 100 gig connection to a cap.
Yay. Yeah. Are they going to splice the things two times or something?
So because it's the dark fiber, I think it's around 50 kilometer, and so they have to, all the interconnection points, they have to splice the fiber, otherwise you would have too much loss over that kind of distance. And there's some cost involved, unfortunately, but this is basically the only option we have, and this is the bad thing about it. There's basically a monopoly in the polder. There's one company, one company who would offer fiber, so.
Yeah.
And that's your own. That's the bad thing about this terrain, because
You want to go like with Ohm? You want to go 2 miles of rolling out fiber cables through fields and mud?
No. So we have one option, so we.
Okay.
They could have asked more money, basically.
They could have squeezed us and they didn't, so we should be grateful.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Well, don't say that too loud.
Yeah.
There's no recordings of this, so.
Well, But people know here that we're in the, this is going to be in the polder, right? Or
yeah. The polder, this is an artificial island where the event is. So
if you zoom out a bit, then you see the water, and you see the Flevo polder, which is one of the largest man-made islands. Well, yeah, man-made islands, basically.
Another question?
Was the water distribution to the villages a plan? Do you have some distinct solution points, as it was on the camp, or was there a possibility to connect up horses, so we don't have to carry around water?
Like that. I don't have the answer for that. I have not heard the request. There are, I can show what the water points are. And yeah, there's enough places where you can water, and there's enough places where there's sewage. So it's about the same infrastructure. And you can, I think, but that's more suppressor. Maybe you can?
This question was asked before, and unfortunately there's no definite answer to that yet. I talked to Attila about it, and he kind of said we are not going to have that, but I still think we should have it. And I don't know how the infrastructure on site is. So for fresh water, I personally don't see a big problem, but for sewage, I don't think you can supply that. So if you bring all the pipings and the pumps and the stuff, you can probably also have sewage.
Yeah, that's at least if. Yeah, well, there's a lot of sewage pipes here and a lot of places where you can put it in. So that sort of helps, but I don't know. We should find it out maybe on the next, we're going to the terrain a few times more. We can of course ask what the policy is. I think that at least if you use water and you want to waste some water, you have and must use a sewage system. So there's no doubt. But I don't know exactly, nobody really knows the details on this. There's way more sewage points than water points, so that's at least a good thing. But here on the bigger camping field, there's, yeah, you have to, if you are in this lower corner, then you have a challenge. Or do you have all that stuff? Another question?
Yeah, it's a bit unrelated to that, but we had a bit of a controversy about what is supposed to be a village and what is supposed to be a cluster. Do you have a number in mind about the number of inhabitants for a cluster, or is it just arbitrary and we can
What I think a cluster is more of a some sort of grouping of villages, and you can have two villages with the same person, with one person which is the same person. So you can then make a cluster of more than one village. So basically you can have a cluster with one person.
So we are creative.
Yes. So you can make whatever you want. The clusters is an interesting thing. I blindly copied that from the Camp Wiki. So I don't know. There was some, Leandra, do you know about something about this?
It was mostly grouping proposals, but I didn't remember exactly what the thinking about.
I kind of think I can answer that because I put clusters into the wiki. So the idea is to have just another level of hierarchy for organizing villages. A lot of time, villages plan their stuff together. Like every village brings their own tents, but they decide they are going to build just one kitchen and they are going to use that together. So that kind of is, in my head at least, that is a cluster. So if villages want to work together, share infrastructure, be next to each other, that is a cluster. So I can probably fix the description in the wiki.
It's just the issue is that we in Chaos West, we're still figuring out how many people are coming really. So maybe it's just two or three from each of these hackerspaces. That's we should be then 50 in total maybe. And we're not quite figured out how to create this. And we have the living tents and we have the infrastructure tents, of course, which would be some kind of extended location. So that would be a cluster in your mind?
Yeah, you can do that.
Because
yes.
The description of village it says it's, I mean, this is a number of tents and it has a kitchen.
I would say do what you feel is best. There's nobody going to police on this. That would be horrible.
just to say about it, the insubmunication about that, maybe give some examples.
Yeah. Well, there's, for example, then the cluster alt power. Those are villages related to creating their own power from solar, from all kinds of whatever power source. I don't know, burning hamsters. I don't know. You name it. And they grouped around this area on the camp. That's pretty practical because they bring all kinds of regulators and power capacitors and such, and they don't have kilometers of cable. So the physical requirements for such a cluster and everybody that wants to help is evident here. And there's also a cluster for the family area. So there's two parts of the family area, which is the village and the playing field. This at the top is designated as being the village, and here's a playing field with all kinds of workshops, and they put in their two things, and there might be somebody that says, hey, I'm going to bring this and this and this and this, and I'll just register as part of this cluster. So that those are simple examples. Another question?
Yeah, probably that was asked before, sorry for being late. What's about unloading? Like if you bring lots of stuff and tents and get on the ground with the car to unload?
That's also a question more suppressor. Maybe you should be here.
Yes, you can get on the terrain to unload your stuff. We put some dates and times into the wiki already. It's on the HQ page. On the central page, those times might change, but basically you can drive on the terrain to unload stuff. That will be possible.
Okay, but there's restrictions to drive on the fields, right?
Yes.
So
it will be probably similar to CC camp, that only a specific amount of vehicles, trucks, whatever, are allowed on the field at the same time.
Okay.
And the idea from the villages team was to kind of blend this stuff ahead with time slots, so the waiting time for everybody is lower. So if you come on the planned date and time, then you will be able to enter the field directly.
Yeah, additionally you see here day one is access for village buildup in general. If there's a special requirement or large installations or you have three trucks with stuff, then you can just say hi, and then a different arrangement can be made. So,
but there's quite a bit of amount of tarmac on the field as well, so you can get pretty close, right?
Yeah, if you look at the map, the gray stuff, that's tarmac. You can drive with very interesting large trucks on that and that stuff. We do not want anyone driving over the grass, so. If that's a requirement and you want to be somewhere on an outskirt, that would be harder. Then we have to make some exceptions, get driving plates and whatnot.
So those red lines on the green fields are basically soft apples?
Yes, those are fire lanes. This is also the Netherlands 101. There cannot be more than 1,000 square meter in this particular area, and they think the reason is that if one tent burns down, for example here, I'll make a ridiculous example, if a tent burns down here, it will not catch this whole forest on fire and burn the rest too. No. Still, they want to make sure that it's isolated. If something terrible happens, then they can get close by with a fire truck.
This will be like Flatterband.
Yeah, Flatterband heaven. We tried also to get special Shia Flatterband. Cyber Flutterbot also. So it will probably be the boring red white stuff.
What about are these cabinets? Are they able to be part of a village?
In some cases, they are. Currently, we have with the scouting and arrangement that there are two places for campers. I can show the two. But we, as an org, are not really happy with this. The reason that scouting wants this is because they don't want the terrain to be demolished by all kinds of cars. So they're very careful about that. So at the top, there's a place. There's here next to the lake, next to the entrance, there's a place, and here is an overflow place on the right. Most of us prefer that you can camp anywhere, but that's not really allowed. So the rule we have is if your camper or bus has a special thing of interest for the camp, for example, it has an installation or piece of art, then we can make a rule or can break the rules a bit. So, so make something beautiful, yes. Yeah, this is what we have to do with, unfortunately. Any other questions?
Yeah, I remarked to the camper vans, and in the past, a lot of parents, especially the young kids, had the desire to have some more infrastructure in the kids'
village. Yeah, I know. So we looked at the orders for campers. There are 14 campers with kids. And if we are lucky, we can all place them in the family village. That would be the ideal situation if they would like to. So that is. Still micromanagement, which we don't like, but yeah.
One thing about the family village, when I went to the train about months ago, it is a very nice covered bathroom facility, which is actually built by scouting. So nice style building with like the wooden things and enough space, so quite comfortable. Which is not always the case.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the...
Yeah.
Sure. Over there, yeah.
They did the official opening last weekend with the major and all kinds. Yeah, seriously, all the facilities on site. There's one here. This was also ready. They have put up a block of toilets here and one here. And one here in the center. So we have to rent one truck with showers, if I'm correct, and then we have enough showers that everybody can take a shower on time. So
is there also a shower next to the safe harbor?
There's a block of showers and such here, exactly. I've not been in there, but they promised me, so I'm...
There's a bicycle route crossing the field. I remember a room where there were much discussion about people who wants to cycle through, and they were not allowed to do so. What is the plan here?
This is the part of the traffic plan. What will happen is that a few days before the event, from here, there will be a sign and things. And they will say you have to drive over this road, and then you can. This is the bicycle lane, and it goes on and on and on. And it basically says that you have to go here. Somewhat about here. I don't really know. I think here straight to this place, and then you can continue your travels. And there's also on the other side. There's also a sign that you. And drive around. That's part one. There's also these brown lines are a what's it called? A mountain bike road. There's also a mountain bike road on the site, and we're currently looking into who manages that, and can we ask to also have no mountain bikers there? There was one incident at home with a mountain biker that was looking like, oh, beautiful tents, and I'm flipped over, ended up in the hospital.
Is there a second bike route on the dike?
Sorry?
Is there a second bike route on the dike?
Yeah, the dike is very interesting. This is, if you look at what we rent this terrain, there's this part, the dike, and that's everything you want to do there answers with no. And this is a public part, and we cannot do anything with that, and everybody can walk there anytime. That's public. So that is just very interesting in terms of access control, because that means there is basically, it's very hard to do. And then we have to do all kinds of other trickery, and there probably might be some fences here. And the other side, yeah, that is very interesting to do any access control. I don't know, do we ever walk around and check wristbands, Thomas?
At the moment, I think only 6 boats are registered to be coming into the safe harbor. So either people who have said go around and end up at the gate, or alternatively, then only obviously there's a security spot because it's in public area, maybe they do just walk through the camp and get their wristbands.
Yeah, so that's what it is. So we have a wiki page for this. It's called the dike. Oh, this is not here.
On the
Orga wiki, we have to move this page. Copy a page, dike. No. So we're making this right now. So you see my security policy, all passwords are pre-filled. And save. Here we go. So this will be interesting, because for press, one of the most interesting locations is, of course, on the dike. Then you see the whole campsite. There's also for decoration, there's a tower plant around here with a laser on it, and this will be a ridiculous blue laser, ridiculously bright, and that will mimic the sea. So if you're on this side on the camp, the idea is that you see a laser ceiling across you on the whole night, which is nice.
If you break the dike, then that's the part that will be filled with water.
So, yes.
There's actually also a very high pressure gas line running in the dike, right?
Oh, it really?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there's a high pressure gas line in the dike, so don't. Don't. Don't.
High voltage cables, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Okay, so yeah. Don't break the dike.
So the power from the field comes from the dike, actually. So there's like 10 kV.
Yeah, there's a box over here somewhere. There's a power box over here somewhere. With beautiful hazard signs and stickers and all the stuff we have on our laptops. This will be the parking area. This is a very nice thing, because parking tickets are ridiculously expensive. Those are 42 euros each. And that goes to one single thing, and that is getting trucks with plates in. We have about 30 to 36 trucks with steel plates, each weighing 1,000 kilo, and they will put them down over here. And why would we ever do such a thing? No, because the same terrain was used for scouting in 2015, and they found out after 3 days of rain on the event that there's no car able to drive off that camping site anymore. So you have 1,000 cars stuck in a field. That if you have a Manitou, if you have 6 Manitous, it will take like days, weeks maybe. So that is so terrible. And that is also a feature of the polder. It's all clay ground, so it's all soft. And we had to make some decision. The other option was to have parking way, 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 way off-site, which is totally not practical at all. So this is expensive, it's practical, you can even go to your car, get safe stuff in it. There's also a small outpost here, a tent with Wi-Fi and of course Wi-Fi and whatever light and such. So it doesn't really suck if you do that kind of shift. Oh, it has a nice facilities page link already, yay.
So we make people page and make them park somewhere else, or to have the infrastructure to transport cars off if there is an issue?
Oh, in this case, we pay for those plates. So we
these plates do for cars to park on?
Yeah, yeah. Those plates are incredibly expensive.
Because at the moment, it's a green field, this actual shape.
Right.
Yeah, I can also show the video if you want. You can see part of these this stuff. So we'll do it without audio this time. Is this clear? Yeah. Okay. A little audio then. So this is that parking field with the sheep. yeah, and it's pretty big. We will only use like this first part of that terrain. It looks a little bit like the Ohm terrain, even.
But under normal conditions, these trucks will not be used, like if there's no rain.
If there's no rain, we threw away a lot of money. That's true. If there's rain...
In the Netherlands?
you know what HARS stands for, right? Hackers awaiting rain.
So, yeah... Well, let's fly over the camp then. Most of you have probably seen it already, right? So we are currently working on a permit to get an entrance gate over here.
Like Ohm?
Yeah, like Ohm. Moom is going to decorate that.
You can camp on the island.
Yes, that is correct.
You can camp on the island?
If you want, and you really put some effort in it, you can camp on that island over there.
Yes. So there's no power at all.
So. Yeah, you have to put in some effort. So there's also, we're going to use some inflatable crocodiles and such, but there's one of or two of these lakes, those have drainage. We have to have some fences around it. Unfortunately, the other ones you can swim in. The water is like fresh water that is moving, so It's supposedly safe to swim. We, of course, will test that, not with life hackers, but with something else.
In the top right, you can also see the boxes.
Yeah, this is, you mean this?
E0.
Yeah, this is one of these boxes with facilities in it. Here's the other one. And this is the scouting porto cabin complex. There's now another porto cabin here. We will rent some for the logistics team. And all the we signed a contract with somebody that does terrain lighting around the terrain with, I think, 4 kilometers of controllable LEDs. So you can have a nice app and you can color the whole camp with your SHA-1 hash of whatever you want. So the track 3 will be here with the CTF. This is just insanely large. So bring bicycles and stuff and hoverboards and whatever.
One UNB to crowd with bikes.
Yeah.
One UNB to crowd with bikes. Like only useful in the
build-up here, okay. Oh, during the event, you mean? I don't know what the rules will be. Yeah, we rent a lot of bikes this time, again, 20 or something. We have like 10 golf carts. which is especially handy during build-up. Also during build-up, you can just drive with your own car on the site. So that means that you can just load up all the stuff and get at least close by if you don't park on the field. That helps. This is now this on the right. That field is now a little bit more populated. It has, it looks better, way better right now. There will be most services will be here, POC, network, Deco, and such. And this will be the main tracks and the bar. And now we're flying through Family Village. It's nice and remote, a little bit quiet. So yeah, you see how this is like 1 kilometer width by a kilometer terrain. So if you want to walk that for the 17 days that we rent the terrain, I would suggest get exercise right now. A lot of exercise. It's a lot of walking and cycling. Here will be the food court. There will be food trucks from all kinds of suppliers, and a radio studio will be over there. If you have an awesome food truck supplier that you want to have on the terrain, I can connect you to the people that arrange that right now. Currently, there are 6 harbor tickets sold. We expect about 10 to 12 boats on the event. There will be a ferry thing to the hotel on. There's a hotel on here somewhere, far on the right, and you can go get there from the ferry thing. I don't know what the correct translation is. Pont. So all the way over here, there's a hotel, and we can you can just go back and forth. Once an hour. It's a half hour one way, so about once an hour, 12 times a day or something like that. There's a small beach over there, which we also rent, and then it goes until here. Here we have to place some fences, and that's the end of the terrain. This is the part of the video where the drone crashed, the software crashed. And the battery was nearly empty, but
it said it needed to be cooled, so emergency landing was.
Oh, oops. And this is also part of the video I really like. That is, if you look on the right, there's a fence on the dock. Like, you're not supposed to go on the dock. Let's see what happens. Yeah, so fence is now gone.
We needed to test the swimming.
Is swimming possible?
Yes.
This is one of the shower toilet combinations. There are 3 of them on site. And finally, 2 parts. Some people say this is more the Orga camping part. Then there's a field behind that, even. So yeah, that's the terrain. So the ticket sales is like 2,000 people right now. With 3,500, it will be all fine. We will have a good event, every bill paid, and I don't personally go bankrupt, so which is fine. There is, of course, an emergency plan to scale down, but we think that's really not necessary, but we have one. We also have plans to scale up from 3,500 to the max capacity of 6,000 that we arrange this. And in that case, there will be some other things, like if you zoom out here, there's this camper area. It is now a dull gray. We also rent this, and now it is not sand, but nice trees and such. That's a very interesting terrain in sense of drainage and such. We have to see how we can use this the best way. it's also huge. So, yeah, it's now 19:30. I don't know how much time did we have?
Another half an hour.
Oh, we have another half hour. Yeah, so we can sing songs and dance. No. Well, any other things we want to...
How high can we build in our village?
How high can we build in our village? At least, that's an interesting, good question. I like that question.
purpose that I'm looking at, but really the height of all constructions, which makes it more.
With at a certain height, I cannot name numbers because I don't know them. You will have to have them on the permit or something, or have that inspected, especially if there will be people on there. But if you have a antenna, for example, for some sort of radio, then it's then you can go pretty high, like higher than the trees. That is just because the antenna, most of the antennas have nice instructions and measurements with them. If you would build a lighthouse with scouting did, that is 20 meters high or something, then that's a permit thing.
So.
No, people in our event don't climb on those structures in general. They are very kind. I've seen that at Ohm with the Rainbow Island. We had several towers that everyone could use and people still asked. So people are in general really nice. For example, what happens if there's a storm? What will happen with the high structure? At what moment does the structure need to be taken down and such? Those are interesting questions, because if it falls over, yeah, well, you want to know those things in advance. So there will be those inspections on site, but yeah, I don't really know the numbers by heart.
So we just go for it and we see how we can
deal with it. Yeah, and think sensible in the way that it has to be safe. And you have to be sure about the construction, and it has to make sense. And then you can go, you can build pretty nice things, I guess.
So a related question is then, can we maybe get some square materials or something? Or do we have to bring everything?
You can try and arrange that from somewhere in the area, but that's not really, I know that Moon for the Gate is trying to do that. Yeah, we can ask scouting in that case, but I'd rather have not. I'd rather have someone dedicated for that, because that's a lot of extra work next to all the things we are currently doing. So I can give some phone numbers and you can call.
No, master, do you mean the tools or the materials?
Materials. Tools is what you have at the space. You can bring the car, of course, but not the whole wood stuff.
The same question is also for deco team for Moom, which she builds a gate, entrance gate, and wants to use scrap wood too. So, and I've seen also very big dance festivals with scrap wood constructions on scaffolding. So yeah. Well, I think if there are no more questions, or if
I Oh. I know Finnish and Swedish hackerspaces ask if they can have a sauna. Do you know if they want that approved or not?
That's for suppressor.
It was actually Finnish people, so of course, yeah. Who else uses saunas? I haven't communicated with those people in a while, so I don't know what the exact status is.
There is some interesting rules with water in the Netherlands. I don't know them by exactly, but there are some rules that the water has to move. It has to decontaminated and such. We have fresh water on the site, so that helps a little bit. But the other part, it's Netherlands, so there are rules for that, and you have to search them on the internet and see what they are.
So we haven't. Yeah, okay.
So there is no decision yet.
Yes.
Yeah. If the village says we come to the Netherlands, we do this according to this rule set, and it's all fine, and we can check that, why not? But if they come and just try and do something, then in case of water on site, that's always terrible. It's hard. I've had that at home. I also had a structure there planned with water, and then they came with this stack of paper that I had to fill in. So the answer was no.
They can sit inside of a diamond pool if you want a sauna, right?
We can show the deco map. La-di-da, team deco. So there's also a deco team which has a map with all kinds of constructions that we are now partly running through the permit. For example, this is a TL fluorescent light bulb, I think. TL shruggy. This is this thing, which they're building, which is pretty fun. T-shirts, madness. Too much Twitter. Stroopwafels.
You can also go to my Twitter. Which is / Polyflight. If you wait a moment, I'll retweet the tweet. Yeah, should be.
Ta-da! Nice. So they will build this on the fences.
We are going to need fencing boosters.
Yeah. What's do we? Oh, where's that thing now? Panic. Oh, here. UV. There are some next to the track tents. There's somebody that offered a lead wall of 12 square meters for the lounge. So that's fun too. Some maps that we've seen at camp. Somebody said I want to make those. Those are really awesome. Really helpful, especially if. Since the terrain is so large, we ordered 70 inflatable crocodiles and a unicorn and some flamingos to put on the water and infinite amount of beach balls for the kids village. There will be sharks on this part. There will be a monument dedicated to Griet Tutelaar, who died this year, scientist. Crocodiles, somebody's working on a fire matrix, and somebody's working on a TL clock, which is a 5 meter spanning clock on 9 meters high. And with all the minutes are separate TL bulbs, so they will flicker around. It's ridiculous. And that's a permit thing. So yeah, and some all kinds of small lights like the things you might have seen before. So that's that. If there's anything else, if not, then we can just can continue partying here at GPN. Okay, let's party. Thanks.